In this episode, you'll finally get honest answers to your biggest divorce concerns.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
This week, I shared practical advice on how to know if divorce is the right step and what to do if you're unsure, how long divorce really takes, what it costs, and why every case is different, and how investing in legal representation is also an investment in your future well-being. I hope this episode is valuable to anyone who might be listening. Stay tuned for the full episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, I will be doing a solo episode to answer some commonly asked questions about divorce and family law. I will be sharing practical advice on how to know if divorce is the right step and what to do if you're unsure, how long divorce really takes, what it costs, and why every case is different, and how investing in legal representation is also an investment in your future and well-being. So let's get into some questions our listeners may have. How do I know if I need a divorce? Well, I'm going to rephrase that. I think you know if you want a divorce. You already know that. Me telling you a bunch of reasons why is not going to help you make that decision. If you're considering divorce, you should spend some time and thought and consideration for really what you want your life and future to be. Because maybe it's like you wake up and you're like, this is not the life I thought I would be living. So do some self-inquiry. Really look into that. I recommend, you seek counseling, even if your husband won't participate. Having the space to freely discuss your feelings and get clarity on them can be very helpful. It's also very helpful to work on yourself, have that time to work on yourself and clarity on where you want to be, who you want to be before going through this. Because many women are not in a great space emotionally before the divorce. And so then the process tends to take longer. They are unable to show up as their best self during the divorce. And that's most people, but they just so many emotional questions and feelings that can cause them to, you know, really stall their divorce a lot longer than it would otherwise be. On average, women spend approximately 4 years thinking about a divorce before taking action. And I recommend if you're thinking about it, you ought to get some professional advice as to your options and really understand where you are. And I mean, if you're going to wait 4 years to take action, go get some therapy. Do some healing things to help you with the situation you're in and clarity on what you want after that. All right, so everyone, a big question, how long does a divorce take? You know, I've said this many times, every divorce is unique and the length does depend on a lot of factors. And, you know, there's cases that are simple, meaning, let's say, no real property and no children. Sometimes those can take a long time if your husband just, we can't find him. And it takes a long time to get him served and he just doesn't want to participate in the process. It will still happen, but it can take longer than you would think it would. You have businesses, you have children, there's claims of alimony and child support, and maybe there are domestic violence claims. Those are going to take longer. Those are more issues that need to be resolved. And usually, I mean, on the long end, some cases can take 2 to 4 years. And that seems crazy, I know, but it does. And I will tell you, a lot of that will have to do with you. A lot of that will have to do with your husband. And so all you can control is yourself and your, you know, you can control your reactions, but you want to talk with your attorney about it. And it is not as straightforward as I want it done, so let's get it done. I wish it could be, but there are other, your husband's involved as well. And then scheduling. So there's just a lot of things and issues, and you want the issues to be fleshed out and understand your position. So some things, it's good to have the time. Sometimes it's very frustrating to have it go on for a while, but when there's more at stake, it will take longer so that, you know, those things are fleshed out and the issues are prepared by your attorney and you have a clear understanding of where you are now in the divorce financially and, you know, with your children and then what will it look like afterwards. So I would say average 12 to 18 months is where the average is. So, you know, there's the ones on the fast end and the long end. We average it out there. And those are things that you should be prepared for and talk to your attorney about and understand why things are taking that long. Because usually there's an answer and a very reasonable explanation. You may not like the explanation, but there usually is. Now, what if I can't afford a divorce? That is a question that you have to answer for yourself. It's really, can you afford to stay married? You know, what's your emotional health, your physical health? How is this affecting you? You need to realize that if you don't have a job and you have no way to earn money for yourself, I think I would explore that. Nobody has an obligation, you know, to support you. The law will provide for spousal support, but I saw recently on, it might've been on TikTok. It's not a good thing to get on. I'll tell you, I go down the rabbit hole and it knows things I like to say, but you know, a husband is not a financial plan. It's not. And maybe that is where you were 10, 15 years ago, but understand, you know, it comes with a lot of strings attached and you may be sick of it. So why don't you start thinking about what can I do to help support myself and my children? And I'm not saying he's not going to be required to offer some support, but that's going to depend on your finances, the length of the marriage, and the roles of both of you. The idea that you can just go into a divorce and he's going to have to support you for the rest of your life, that no longer exists in Florida. There's not permanent alimony. I'm not, you still, you know, in most cases, if it's all, that whatever's marital, you know, accumulated during the marriage is going to be divided, but that's both assets and debt. And I just think that, you know, where we are today in 2025, we as women have so much power. We have so much opportunity. We need to exercise that and not just be a victim saying, I can't do anything, because that's very rarely true. And we live in this age where there's so much innovation and going on in the world that there's just the ways to make money. It's just mind-boggling. So there's always opportunity if you're open to see them. You know, if you want something, usually you can find a way to make it happen. And that's, you know, that's really what's going to take. You have to know that you want it and then you find the money. And it's worth it. The legal system is not meant for unrepresented individuals to maneuver by themselves. You know, lawyers go to law school and practice in this area and they can get you through it and with a better result the majority of the time. So there's value in having an attorney. And most divorces are going to cost probably an average of $20,000. Again, I'm trying to give you averages so you're not like blown away, but that's about average and can be very much higher, much lower, or not that much, but you know what I'm saying. And depending on where you are and who your attorney is, but at least that gives you a ballpark of where to start in your mind, like having a benchmark. How do you choose a good attorney? Well, you should do your research. Absolutely. You know, some of the best referrals can be from friends. Be careful with your expectations. If your friend who had a great result, they may have a very different situation than you. But if they really like their attorney, go meet with them. Come prepared with questions. And also be mindful as to how many questions they ask you. You want an attorney who asks you where your goals are and what you want after this divorce. You want an attorney who, you know, is concerned about like what you're going to do after this and is trying to help you build that new life through this litigation. Because I see divorce as an opportunity to start over. And or, you know, improve on your life. So I always advise definitely our attorneys, you know, we don't need to talk too much. We need to make sure we're asking questions and hear from the client. Like, what is their situation and where do they want to be? You want an attorney who's going to ask you those things and where you, what you do want out of this. And you also, you do want an attorney who is going to tell you the truth. And I know that seems basic, but they're going to tell you like that is, you know, you're asking what you're telling me you want is probably very, very unlikely. Let's dig into the facts, but you need to know that it will, that may not happen. Like our odds are low, but this is how we can try to do it. You really need that because you want to know, like, hey, where do I stand in reality? Is this going to be worth a big battle to undertake this issue? So you want that. You don't want somebody who's like, it's just going to be okay. You know, I'll take care of it. I'll get you the house. I'll get you alimony and you'll be fine. Well, maybe that's not what you want. So you want it to be a true partnership with their advice. Like, and if you don't like what they're telling you, then you should go somewhere else. But if you talk to three people and they all tell you the same thing, it's probably because that's the law. So you might need to, maybe you're not ready. Maybe you need to get in a better headspace and recognize the reality of your situation. But you know, you're going to be telling this attorney all about your life and sharing things about your children and your finances. So trust is important. It's really like, do they understand me and are they telling me things to help me get to where I want to get? You know, comparing your divorce to your best friends and your mom's, your sister's is a dangerous game. You're only going to end up unhappy. It's just like comparing and, you know, so that's all I can say. I'm not going to delve into that. We've had several episodes where we talk about how different cases are. And if you are going into a divorce and telling your attorney that your expectations are to get XYZ and they say, you know, your facts don't warrant that, I don't think that is a possibility, then I suggest you listen. I mean, you can get a second opinion for sure, but hear them and try to understand what they're saying instead of just keep fighting for something that they said is not very likely. Doesn't mean you can't fight for it. Doesn't mean, you know, I mean, I feel like we have those conversations with our clients all the time that you know, let me ask you a bunch of questions to tell you how we would have to build this case. And then let's see where we are and let's talk to witnesses and, you know, see documents, things like that. And then it's your job to provide that information and, you know, be cooperative with them to hopefully get you that result. So, you know, you hear about an uncontested divorce. Just know that there are some things, there are a lot of forms online, and they're titled in a way that means basically you've agreed to everything. So you're filing basically your full agreement with the uncontested pleadings. So that's not most of the cases. Most of the cases, we have to go to mediation. That doesn't mean it's War of the Roses. That means we got to talk through some issues and you each have your lawyer. We go to a mediator and we end up with a compromise. That's the majority of the cases. You know, and if he says, hey, I'm not going to fight you, okay, that's great. And let's see how that goes. Usually once, you know, things are written, maybe they're not as agreeable as I thought, but they might be. So I always, you know, caution our clients like, hey, let's see how they react and let's see how this goes. That would be great if they want to sign off on everything, because some people do. All right, so this is a big one, and I think, you know, a lot of people have questions, like, why can't my mom or dad or sister come into my legal meetings? So, you know, there are very few, you know, legal privileges in the law, and attorney-client is one of them. Everything you say to your attorney is confidential, and when you bring your mom or your dad in there, now it's not confidential, and they can be subpoenaed to testify. Okay, is that something that happens commonly? No. However, I have seen it happen. And it was, you know, not a great situation. So our job as attorneys is to protect you from the possible risks, you know, things that put you at risk. So typically we say we're going to meet and have a discussion. And then we usually allow your mom or dad in there if they have questions. Now, if they're running the show, like they're paying for it and they want things that are contrary to what you want or contrary to what's in your best interest. Most attorneys, I mean, we don't listen to them even if they're paying. You're the client. But then there comes this natural, this real divide that doesn't serve you well, I will tell you. It messes up your relationship with your parents and with your attorney. Those are cases where typically we would have to say, you know what? We can't listen to your mom. We have to listen to you. But then she's upset by the decisions you're making. That's an issue between you and your mom, not for your mother to be calling your attorney. So kind of what I talked about earlier, getting emotionally ready and being prepared to take responsibility for this in your life on your own. Many times family members do help with legal fees, but you need to set those boundaries clear with them. Like, are you okay paying for my attorney's fees, but I'm making the decisions that you might not agree with? That's a great thing to have a conversation with at the beginning to set some boundaries. Now, you know, questions that happen, how often are we asked to, you know, modify an agreement that parties did themselves? That happens frequently. I will tell you, it's often not possible. So when you're entering into agreements with your spouse, legal documents that you're signing off on, even if you didn't have a lawyer, you are going to be held to that agreement. Very few things can be modified. And there's legal standards for the ones that can be, and those are usually related to children. But you're going to have what we would call a substantial change in circumstances. What's substantial to you and what's substantial to the court generally are two different things. And so we have a legal standard to prove. So that being said, don't sign legal agreements without an attorney to advise you. And if you do, then you kind of get what you asked for there if you later feel like it was a mistake. There's only so much we can do. And attorneys don't like saying that. We don't like telling you we can't help you. But unfortunately, there are times when we can't. So many women wonder, like, what's going to happen to my children? I don't trust my spouse to take care of them when I'm not around. That's a big issue. And I really suggest you work on that in therapy. And I'm going to give you like the hard truth from the court's perspective is in the law, you had a child with this person. So you're kind of stuck with them. And that child has a right to their father. And the courts are going to enforce that and give him that time. Now, if they are at risk, their health's at risk or in danger. And by danger, I've had judges write in an order like blood on the street kind of danger. It's a pretty high bar. But when that exists, there are things that we can do and things that we can attempt to get put in place, but only if we take it to the court to do to protect the children. If you know, and that's just time for self-reflection and an understanding that he's their father and the court's going to give him time, you know. And if you aren't prepared for that, if you don't have proof that they're in danger, they're going to go with him. So that's just the reality. There are many, many cases and circumstances where there are a lot of protections in place because actual facts and evidence has been shown that the children are at risk. And the courts do respond very well to that. You just have to have evidence. So, and more than, you know, he doesn't feed them, you know, a proper diet and all they do is eat out. That's not going to be enough. He lets them stay up too late and game too long. It's probably not going to be enough. Now, if you got a list of 20 of these things, well, let's go, you know, go through them and see in their totality, is it enough? It may or may not be. So, you know, maybe a trial separation where you see how they do is a good thing, where, you know, he is in charge and he has to make those decisions. And those are difficult cases, but I encourage you to talk to a lawyer to very clearly understand your situation and the reality of it. Now, before I wrap up this episode, our show is called Women Winning Divorce. And I always ask our guests what winning at life means to you. So I will answer the question as well. Winning at life means to me, you know, one, achieving my goals for myself and my family, right? I've heard it said you're only as happy as your least happy child, right? Like if we are able, you know, our children are doing and when they're doing great, it's a big win. When your other family members are doing great, it's a great win for me. And if I can show up for them in a way that helps them and supports them, that's a win for me. And one of the things I do want to encourage you to do is celebrate all the little wins. Because there are a lot of them. And sometimes we focus on what stinks and what's been hard. But if we focus on the wins, we'll start to see more and more of those every day. Listeners, to find out more about my firm, Florida Women's Law Group, you can visit our website, floridawomenslawgroup.com. We've reached the end of our show today, and thank you for listening.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.
This podcast podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not an advertisement for legal services. The information provided on this podcast is not intended to be legal advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact an attorney in your local jurisdiction. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are solely those of the individuals and do not represent the views or opinions of the firms or organizations with which they are affiliated. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any editing, reproduction, or redistribution of this podcast for commercial use or monetary gain without the expressed written consent of the podcast's creator is prohibited.